Okay, good morning, everybody. So last week, we began our series of halacha shiurim about the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros Shabbos. I got an overwhelming response of emails, both from people who listened online and from those who were here, that they were very taken by one point that we made in the shiur. I have never done this in my career so far of giving shiurim, when we had a shiur that was billed as a halacha shiur, and we digressed completely from the halacha, as we will today, to touch on a point that people had responded was of interest to them. We mentioned last week, just to recap where we're up to, the Rambam says clearly that there's two aspects in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos. Number one, we have the aspect of Kavod Shabbos. Number two, we have the aspect of Oneg Shabbos. Now, what exactly is the difference? How do we define these terms? What is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? So the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch that the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos is, when do you do it? Kavod Shabbos is anything, the category of Kavod Shabbos is anything that I perform before Shabbos comes in. So therefore, when I have sweeping the floors, taking a shower, wearing my nice clothing, that's all included in Kavod Shabbos. When I have a wonderful, delicious meal on Shabbos itself, when I enjoy the Shabbos, when I do everything on Shabbos proper, that's called Oneg Shabbos. So we ask the trick question, what would you categorize Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos? Well, on the one hand, we do that in preparation for Shabbos. We do it before Shabbos begins. In fact, one is not allowed to light Neiros Shabbos after Shabbos starts. That would be a malacha. On the other hand, we assume you get the enjoyment on Shabbos proper because you're having light in your home, you're having a nice ambiance on the table, you have candles in front of you. So that's really Oneg Shabbos because you get the enjoyment on Shabbos proper. So this is a question, and the Rambam says clearly that it really has a dual aspect. When you light Neiros Shabbos, you're number one, fulfilling the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, and number two, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And we pointed out a couple of important points that come out of that, and those points go as follows. Anyone who just came in to get a source sheet, there are still a few, I think. So we pointed out a couple of important ideas that come out of that. Based on the fact that it's both Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, one would assume that, let's say, on Yom Tov night, we know on Yom Tov one is allowed to do certain types of malachos. So what happens? Some women have the custom on Yom Tov night that they don't light the Neiros Yom Tov until the husband comes home from shul, till right before Kiddush. Why? Because Yom Tov you're allowed to do malachos. So what's the problem? Why should I rush on Erev Yom Tov? So in fact, the Achronim write that's not a proper practice. And the Drisha, who writes a commentary on the tour, says that his mother used to give musr to the women in the community that it's improper. Why? Because if you have a dual aspect of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos every time you light Shabbos candles, so then you should make sure to try to fulfill both. The only way to fulfill both is if you light the candles before Shabbos or Yom Tov set in, and then you have the candles going while Yom Tov or Shabbos is already here. So therefore, even though on Yom Tov we have the permissibility of lighting candles once Yom Tov comes in, but still we're going to go out of our way to try to do so beforehand in order that we can get both of these aspects, number one, Kavod Shabbos, number two, Oneg Shabbos. So we mentioned last week the Rambam. The Rambam talks about the definition of Kavod Shabbos, and this is what a bunch of women had emailed me in response to, that they want to hear more about this. The Rambam writes a very interesting comment. Says the Rambam in number Aleph, the first of the entries on the source sheet, the Rambam writes, it's extremely unique because I never have English sources on my source sheet. Here I have two. It's interesting. So this shiur for me is interesting as well. Let's see if it goes over. Says the Rambam, Perek Lamed Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph, Ezehu Kibud. What exactly is Kavod Shabbos? And we mentioned this Rambam last week. I just want to get more into it today. Number one, the aspect of Kavod Shabbos is that one is supposed to make sure to take a shower and get all clean before Shabbos begins. B'chamin b'erev Shabbos. Mipnei Kavod HaShabbos. Then number two, Misatev b'tzitzis v'yoshev b'kavod rosh. Tzitzis does not mean tzitzis as we call them. Tzitzis means my nice clothing, my garments that have, you know, beautiful artwork on them, whatever it is. So I put on my beautiful clothing, I sit there b'kavod rosh, I sit there with a seriousness waiting to be mekabel Shabbos. Miyachel l'kabelas p'nei HaShabbos. And here's the line that struck a lot of people last week. The Rambam says, Kimo shehu yotze likras hamelech. The same way that I would go and prepare myself and get ready to go and greet a king. Imagine if I was invited to the White House, which is the example we gave last week. You're invited to meet the Queen of England. You wouldn't just show up. You would be ready days in advance. You would be preparing which jewelry you're going to wear, which dress you're going to wear. Everyone would be preparing carefully exactly how they want to look. Perfect. You would go get a manicure. You would go get your makeup done professionally. Everything's perfect. Why? Because I'm going to meet the Queen of England. What, I'm not going to look perfect? Of course I am. Says the Rambam, this is what we're supposed to feel. This is the attitude we're supposed to have when we describe the opportunity of keeping Shabbos. That we're supposed to feel as if we're being Yotzei Likras HaMelech, as if we're going to greet the king or queen themselves, and therefore we should take it with a seriousness and we should understand Shabbos is not simply like all other mitzvahs. Shabbos, we assume, is like a queen. Shabbos is like a real human characteristic. It has feelings, and Shabbos is supposed to be something that we connect to on a personal level. Just think about it like this, just to explain the point. Imagine you have a person who doesn't clean their home before Pesach. Okay? Imagine you have such a person, doesn't clean the house, Pesach comes, all of a sudden, wow, I forgot, I didn't clean my house for Pesach. So you'll say, well, the person is, how would you categorize such a person? Well, how can you have a Pesach if you didn't clean the house? You have chametz all over the place, correct? So how can you have Pesach if you didn't clean the house? So you violated an Aveira, correct? Because you have chametz all over your house, Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz. So we say you violated an Aveira. Did you embarrass Pesach? What would you say? Not embarrassing Pesach. You're just not going to be able to keep it the way you should, correct? Now, take for example a person who does not take a shower before Shabbos. You'll say, is that the same as not cleaning your house for Pesach? No. No. Why not? It's better or worse? Better? Trick question. Well, it's not an Avera to be dirty on Shabbos, but at the same time, you have a queen who's showing up to your house and you don't get ready for her? What an embarrassment! What an embarrassment! That's not like cleaning for Pesach. If you don't clean your house for Pesach, okay, you violate the Isser of having Chametz b'Pesach in your house. If you don't take a shower, if you don't get dressed up nicely for Shabbos, you are making an embarrassment out of the queen that's coming to visit you. How are you not embarrassed to greet somebody, a guest who comes to your home like this? And this is the contrast that we should feel when we talk about the description of what Shabbos is supposed to be. It's not simply like eating Chametz b'Pesach. It's not simply like not cleaning our house for Yom Tov, not getting ready. It's more than that. We're making an embarrassment out of the guest who's coming to our home, who expects us to be greeting them in a certain way, and we aren't coming through. What an embarrassment. What an embarrassment. So this is, when you think about it in that context, it gives it just a little bit more of what the feeling is supposed to be, what Shabbos really is for all of us. It's interesting to note that Brisker Rav has in a Sefer on Chumash, when we have in Parshas Yisro, you look at the psukim that describe the Jewish people's actions that they took before Kabbalah Satorah. As we know, Kabbalah Satorah was the greatest height of spirituality that the Jewish people ever experienced. Kabbalah Satorah, God came down himself, spoke to the Jewish people. So the psukim say over there, Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe. So God says to Moshe right before Kabbalah Satorah happened, I forgot to put it on here, Hine anochi bai lecha ba'av ha'anan. I am going to come to you in a cloud of smoke, in a cloud, whatever it's going to be. I'm going to come approach you. Ba'avur yishma ha'am bedabri imach. In order that we're going to have a private conversation, an intimate conversation between you and me, says God. V'gam lecha yamin la'olam. That's what's going to happen. Kabbalah Satorah originally was supposed to be between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everyone else was just going to listen in. Vayagin Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Interesting. So what happens? The pasuk says, God tells Moshe, I'm going to come to you privately, and I'm going to have a conversation with you. The next words in the pasuk, Vayagin Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe tells Hashem what the Jewish people said. Doesn't follow. God was having a conversation with Moshe. All of a sudden, Moshe says, oh, by the way, this is what the Jewish people said. Who asked you to talk to the Jewish people? I just told you I'm going to have a conversation with you. How'd they get involved? So Rashi explains what's happening in the pasuk. Rashi explains that we're missing something here. What happened was, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you the Torah. It's going to be a private conversation between me and you. That's it. That's what it's going to be. Everyone else can listen in if they want. However, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to the Jewish people. He says, by the way, this is what Kabbalah Satorah is going to be. The Jewish people say, excuse me. Ritzoneinu liras es malkeinu. Why is it fair? Why should you be the only one who gets to talk to God? We want to see him. We want that God should appear to us as well. Why should you be the only one who's worthy of having the Torah being given to you? So by Yashav Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to God and he says, by the way, the Jewish people aren't so happy with the way we want to do this, so let's change the plan. And that's what they do. God says to him, okay, if that's the way you want it to be, we're going to change the plan, and now we're going to have a grand opportunity to have a Kabbalah Satorah with all the Jewish people there, and everyone's going to watch this very momentous encounter with the entire nation. Okay, that's what happened. Says the Brisker Rav, what you see here is that the experience of Kabbalah Satorah was an experience of having an up-close and intimate connection with the Shekhinah. Correct? The Jewish people complained, we don't want that it should only be Moshe, we want that it should be us. In fact, the Gemara tells us, the Jewish people fainted when God opened his mouth. They couldn't handle it. But what you see is that they had an actual encounter with the Shekhinah itself. Says the Biskirov, then, if that's the case, we have to look carefully at what the Psukim say, what steps they took upon themselves before encountering the Shekhinah. What exactly did they do? Says the Biskirov as follows. You look at the Psukim leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, and he writes, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem gives very specific instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu of how the Jewish people should conduct themselves before having this experience with the Shekhinah, before having the encounter with the Shekhinah. Number one, Lech Alam, go to the people and tell them the following, V'kidashtam hayom umachar, make sure everyone is Kaddish, make sure everyone goes to the mikvah, V'chibsu simlosam. Number one, says the Biskirov, clean your clothing, make sure you put on nice clothing. Number two, Hayu nachonim layom ashlishi, beware that in 3 days' time I am going to come, ki bayom ashlishi yered Hashem anan, in 3 days' time I am going to come to you, I am going to reveal myself to the Jewish people. So number one, make sure they have clothing ready. Number two, make sure they are mentally and physically prepared because I am going to appear to them in 3 days' time. And number three, after all this preparation happens, by Yotzei Moshe Asa'am L'Krasi Elokim Min HaMachaneh, Moshe Rabbeinu literally takes the Jewish people out of their tents and he brings them out to greet the Shekhinah. Says the Biskirov, does any of this sound familiar? Biskirov says, you want to know where we got this idea of how one is supposed to prepare for Shabbos? It's all from this experience of Kabbalah Satorah. Because Kabbalah Satorah was the first time in history that we were told, you are going to have an encounter with the Shekhinah, you are going to have an intimate experience with God Himself, make sure you are prepared, and here are the three steps you're supposed to take. Number one, v'chib susim losam, clean your clothing and make sure you're the best. Number two, make sure hayu nachonim layom hashlishi, make sure you're ready, mentally and physically, because in 3 days' time, the encounter with the Shekhinah is going to take place. And number three, the Pasuk says, Vayotze Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Jewish people out, says the Biskirov. Think about how we prepare ourselves for Shabbos. Number one, V'chibsu simlosam, when we come and experience a Shabbos together, and we have this encounter every week, when we come and we experience a Shabbos together with the Shekhinah, and we have God visiting our house, we have to make sure that we're V'chibsu simlosam, that we're dressed up properly, that we're ready to greet a queen the way we should. And this, says the Biskirov, is number one, the thing that we have to keep in mind. You know, we're, I don't know what happens in everyone's homes, but there are many homes where everyone's rushing Erev Shabbos, and you go and you light candles, and you say, I'll get dressed later. Right? No one's going to come home from shul yet, they're going to come home later. I'm sure it doesn't happen here. Just imagining. So you say, I'll get dressed later, the guests aren't coming another hour, till they finish shul, till they finish davening, I have so many other things to do. V'chibsu simlosa means, God is coming in when you light Shabbos candles. He's here. So you're going to tell him, just hang on a few minutes? I'm not ready for you, my husband's not home from shul yet? What does that matter? Shabbos is about welcoming the queen into our own home. Shabbos is about understanding that the Shekhinah is here with us, which means, when we light Ne'er Shabbos, we're ushering in the Shabbos. And how do we look when we usher the Shabbos in? That's point number one. Point number two, says the Biskirov, when Shabbos comes, are we hayu nachonim layom hashlishi? Are we like the Jewish people who are ready, who are preparing themselves physically and mentally, that there is going to be a time in 3 days from now when the Shekhinah will be here, and we must be ready because the Shekhinah will come whether we like it or not? Well, how does Friday afternoon look in our homes? Forget about the women for a minute, because the women are very busy. But I talk for the men. I'm part of the men's society. What happens? Very often you have a man, dashes in from work an hour before Shabbos, right? I imagine. Comes in, running like a wild man. He runs into the shower doing this. Oh, I have to set the Shabbos clocks of this. In a frenzy. And you fly out the door for Shabbos. You go run in your car because I'm not going to get a spot in shul if I don't leave early enough. Everyone's flying all over the place. Is that the way? Is that really being ready? Because we have a guest who's coming and now we're ready to greet that guest? I want to read you a beautiful description, a mashal that's given by Reb Shimshon Pinkus. And I would encourage anyone who is fluent in reading Svarim in Hebrew to purchase this beautiful sefer. It's called Shabbos Kodesh, Nefesh Shimshon. There's a sefer by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, a series of svarim that all of them are beautiful, called Nefesh Shimshon. Rav Shimshon Pinkus was a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael who died very tragically in a car accident. But Rav Shimshon Pinkus has beautiful descriptions of what Shabbos is supposed to be personally. What is that experience supposed to mean? I just want to read you the mashal that he gives. Taru lachem. Imagine, just take for example this description. Yehudi Shahaya Ma'od Asuk. You have a person who's very busy. He's very tired. His mind is on a million different things. V'lo hayalo panai liknos ha-matzos. Before Pesach, I didn't have a chance to buy matzos. Okay, what can you do? I was busy. I was working. I'm an investment banker. I'm working till 3 in the morning. I'm out in the office. I don't even come home that night. So I'm busy. I take showers in the office. I don't have time to do anything. Comes Pesach night. I forgot to buy matzos. Can you imagine? So what happens? He comes to the Leil HaSeder. We gotta eat matzos. My whole family's sitting around. I'm so embarrassed. What's gonna be? So, Magia Leil HaSeder. Everybody in shul, everybody in their homes has matzos. And what's gonna be with me? I'm thinking, oh, I forgot to buy matzos. What's gonna be? So I come home, I go and I knock on the neighbor's door and I say, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but what can I do? I was so busy at work. I forgot to buy the matzos. Would you mind? Maybe give us a couple of boxes of matzos. I'll pay you after Yom Tov. What can we do? So, okay. It's embarrassing. It's terrible. You forgot about Yom Tov. You forgot about Pesach. You didn't prepare. Life moves on. Hine. Hagam shazu mamish busha. Even though he writes, this is an embarrassment. You didn't prepare yourself for Pesach. Don't you know you have to buy matzahs? What's wrong with you? You didn't keep this in mind? Achu lo hiliv kan mishahu. I didn't offend anybody. I didn't buy my matzahs, but okay. You didn't buy the matzahs. Ha matzahs ena na lovas mikach shalo kano osel nalel haseder. My matzahs don't have feelings. They couldn't care less whether or not you bought them or not. You won't be able to do your mitzvah. And you'll be lucky if your neighbor offers to help you out. Ach taru la'atzmechem. Then he says, just imagine for yourself the following. Shehorav hayikarim. My parents live, I live in Eretz Yisrael. My parents come to visit me once a year. My parents call me up and say, we have a flight, we're coming in this and this date. Can you pick us up from the airport? Once a year, I have old parents. And they can't travel so often. So they come once a year, a special trip to come visit us. Modiim lo sheim magiim lo Shabbos. And they let me know, they inform me, that they're going to come visit me in my new home in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos. Nagia b'yom chamishi. We're going to come, we're going to land in the airport at 6 o'clock, Thursday afternoon. Can you come pick us up? Hine sof kol sof achrei haderech ha'arucha she'avru. My parents are very old, and the trip was difficult for them. They had a whole flight. They told me they're going to be there 6:30. I forget all about it. I have a meeting at work. I forget. And I don't pick my parents up. Okay, they turn on the cell phone when they land in the airport. Hello, anybody coming? Oh, we forgot all about it. You know what? Come to the house. They get in a taxi. Don't worry, I'm going to pay for the taxi. They come. And what happens? They get to the house. Tov, hem kvar magim habayta. They come to the house. After I already made the first mistake that I didn't meet them at the airport as I promised I would. Yotzim me'amonit. They get out of the car and they expect all of my children, my whole family is going to be waiting outside. The grandparents came from America. Can you imagine? Korim, hello? Anyone home? Hello? Anyone inside? Anyone want to come out to see us? And somebody, one of the kids, looks out of the window and he says, Karega kulam asukim. Sorry, we're all busy now. We don't have time right now. We're a little bit busy. Nisra ha'erev liad shulchan ha'shabbat. You know what? Wait till the meal tonight, Friday night. You know, by that time we'll all be settled down. Then we'll have a nice chance and opportunity to talk to each other. For now, just, you know, sit down on the couch. We'll be there soon. We don't have a chance right now. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the feeling that parents would have if we would treat them in such a manner? Kisha aba va'ima magiim levakir. When our parents come to visit us, ozvim hakol, the natural thing and the normal thing for us to do is to drop everything else we're doing. We pick them up from the airport. And if we can't, when they show up to our home, we drop everything else we're doing and we go and we greet them. And we make sure that they feel welcome and comfortable. The first thing we're supposed to do is say, with a very warm welcome, so nice to have you here. Latet nishika. Then we give a kiss, we give an embrace, we give a hug. Lahavgin yachas ishi. We should try to create some sort of personal connection with our parents to show them that we are so honored by the fact that they've come. But lav hachi, and if we don't do that, hareze elbon ishi klape hahorim. What a great embarrassment. What an insult it would be to our parents if we wouldn't act in such a way. And then he goes on and he explains, Shabbos Kodesh Nechneses Levatenu. When you think about the description in these kinds of terms, Shabbos comes to our home every week. It's like our parents. Anachnu Asukim. Sorry, we're busy. We'll see you tonight. Not right now. Sorry, we're busy. Wait outside. You got out of the taxi. We'll see you soon. Can you imagine? What an embarrassment that is. What an embarrassment. What a degrading way to treat a guest that comes to our home every week. Adayin lo muchanim l'shabbat. We're not ready yet to accept you. We can't bring you into our home, even though you made the long trip. Lo mitzapim libiyasa. We weren't expecting you to come. What do you mean you weren't expecting me to come? I told you last week I would be here again. Didn't I call you on the phone before I took the flight? I told you I was going to be here. So that's the same question that Shabbos asks us. And Rav Pinkus takes it to the next level and he writes so beautifully. There's a minig in many communities that people recite Shir HaShirim as Shabbos enters. People recite Shir HaShirim before Kabbalah Shabbos. Some communities have that minig. And he explains, do you know why we have this practice to recite Shir HaShirim before Shabbos comes in? Because we say a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu. We ask that God should give us a kiss on the cheek. What are we asking for? As if our parents would come to visit us. Is that not the first thing we would ask them for? You've made the long trip. You came all the way. You're coming to spend time with your children and your grandchildren. Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu. Take the time out to give us an embrace, to show us you love us. And this is why we recite Shir HaShirim on Erev Shabbos, to show ourselves. This is the perspective that we're supposed to have when Shabbos enters every week. Like the Rambam says, number two, the thing we need to do before Shabbos is Hayu Nechonim LaYom HaShlishi. The same way by Kabbalah Satara, we prepared ourselves mentally and physically 3 days in advance to know this is the schedule, this is what's going to happen, this is what we have to do. Well, Shabbos has to be the same way. And number three, we find with the Psukim by Kabbalah Satara, Vayotzei Moshe Lekras HaElokim Min HaMachaneh. Moshe Rabbeinu literally takes the Jewish people out of their tents and he brings them to come and greet the Shekhinah. This is what the Gemara tells us, that the Tanoim and Amoroim used to say, Boi V'netzei Likras Kala. They used to say on Erev Shabbos, let's go out to the fields together to greet the Queen. This is what we're doing. In fact, we are greeting the Queen when Shabbos comes in, and this is what the idea of Kabbalah Shabbos is all about, to realize that this is not just like the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. It's not just like the mitzvah of shaking lulav. It's so much more than that. We have a personal connection. We have an opportunity to have a connection, to have an encounter with the Shekhinah every single week. And that's what Shabbos is about. It's not like Achilas Matzah. It's not like shaking a lulav. It's not like blowing shofar. It is so much more than that. It's intimate, and it's supposed to be an experience that means so much to us. Why did I feel that this is worthy of a shir on its own? I'm sorry for those who thought we were going to talk halacha today, but I think this is an important concept to discuss. I think it's of the utmost importance because we're a group of women together who are coming together to think about the mitzvahs of Shabbos, halakas neir Shabbos for now, what we're describing. And it gives us an opportunity to think a little bit about the role of a Jewish woman. And I was reminded last week when I got emails about the Rambam that we discussed, I was reminded of the beautiful piece there of Soloveitchik wrote about the role of the Jewish woman. That's what I want to read together. Rav Soloveitchik gave, it's printed in tradition, but he gave a hesped for his machutin, machutinus there, I guess, his, what do you call that in English? Is there a word? There's no word? Okay. So he gave a hesped for his machutinus, the Rebbetzin, the Tullina Rebbetzin, when she passed away. I think this was on the Shloshim, actually. And it was later printed in tradition, and he gives such a beautiful description of what the role of a Jewish woman is supposed to be. Let's read it together. Start on the first line. I admit that I am not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. How do you put in terms exactly what the role of the Jewish woman or the Jewish mother is supposed to be? Only by circumscription, whatever that means, I hope to be able to explain it. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. So he said, what do I know about Jewish women? I know my mother. So that's a description I'm going to give of what I think a Jewish woman is supposed to be. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. I didn't really have conversation with her. I just listened to her. She talked and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use a halachic term, as Rav Soloveitchik always did, in order to answer this question. She talked me'inyana diyoma, which means she spoke about things that were relevant, that were important to my life and to all of our lives. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of the holiday. I used to see her recite the prayers. I used to watch her recite the Sidra every Friday night. And I still remember the nostalgic tune with which she used to recite the Parsha. I learned from her very much. Okay, so this is a description of his mother. Most of all, now this is very important, most of all I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law. Remember, if Soloveitchik was all about a brisker, this is the halacha, this is what it is. He was very staunch on the halachas, on the minhagim. But here he gives us a little bit of a glimpse into his soul and what he learns from his mother, who taught him so much more. Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. Judaism is alive. It's not just, this is how you do it. You shake the lulav. You blow the shofar. Wasn't long enough. Do it again. You didn't shake it well enough. You didn't go around the right direction. Start over. That's not what it's about. It's so much more than that. He explains that it's a living experience. It's an experience that we're supposed to enjoy and appreciate. She taught me that there is a flavor, a scent, and a warmth to mitzvahs. It's not just about the shir. Did you say Kriya Shema on time? Did you get it for minyan the right time? Did you bench after you ate? Did you make sure to buy your lulav and esrog and your matzahs? That's not what it's about. I learned from her, listen to this, the most important thing in life. This is Rav Soloveitchik talking. A person who had a lot of important things in his life, but he says, the most important thing in my life I learned from my mother. And what was that? To feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. This is what a Jewish mother to him, this is what a Jewish woman brings to the community conversation. And this is why it's important for us to discuss what Shabbos is supposed to be in our homes. Because this is something that a woman can bring to the ambiance of a family. This is something that only a woman can imbue into the spiritual needs of a child. This is something only a woman can create in the atmosphere of a house on Shabbos. Without her teachings, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. Such an incredible description. It's so empowering how much power a woman has to affect the atmosphere with which the home will look. The laws of Shabbos, for instance, were passed on to me by my father. I used to learn the halacha with my father, Shulchan Aruch. Gotta learn the Gemara, gotta learn everything. Every sifkatan in the Mishnah Berurah, you have to know it inside out. His father was very strict with him. They are part of Musar Avicha. The Shabbos as a living entity, as a queen, was revealed to me by my mother. It is part of the Torah Simecha. The fathers knew much about the Shabbos. Yes, my father taught me all of Hilchos Shabbos. My father explained to me everything I have to know and how to keep by the rules. But the mothers lived the Shabbos. This is the description he gives of his mother and how much she gave him, how much she inspired him in what Shabbos observance is supposed to look like. The mothers lived the Shabbos, experienced her presence, and perceived her beauty and splendor. The fathers taught generations how to observe Shabbos. They taught us the halachas. Mothers taught generations how to greet the Shabbos and how to enjoy her 24-hour presence. I think perhaps this is the reason why the Rambam writes in number Gimel. We discussed last week that the Rambam says the mitzvah of halachas neir Shabbos is a mitzvah both on men and on women alike. There's no difference. So ask the Rambam, if that's the case, why do we assume that this has become the women's mitzvah? Why should women have to do it any more than men? Do any of you go ahead and do bedikas chametz? I assume not. Generally, the men of the house does the mitzvah bedikas chametz. Sometimes they get help from other people in the family, but we assume it's the man's responsibility. So why is it when it comes to halakas neir Shabbos that the woman is the one who's charged with the mitzvah? Why should she be more responsible than her husband, than all the males in the house. Explains the Rambam simply, the reason why is because the woman is the one who's around. She's the one who's preparing for Shabbos. She's around. Usually she's running the house. She doesn't even want her husband getting involved in the kitchen. So you know what? When you're putting the checklist of everything you have to do, you should put on there also, make the schnitzel, make the challah, do this, turn off the lights in the bathroom, turn this on, do that, and also make sure you do Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. Practical, says the Rambam. But I think it's more than that. After you read this description of what a woman's role, specifically in Shabbos, is supposed to be, but in everything we do, we gain a greater appreciation of why perhaps we have taken upon, the women have taken upon themselves, to do this mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, because they are the ones who set the tone for what Shabbos is going to be in the house. Women are the ones who describe to the rest of the family what feelings they are supposed to have, what outlook they're supposed to be when we come and we approach an experience of Shabbos. I saw, if anyone's interested, I didn't give it out, but I saw this week, there's a website called chatzos.com. Did anyone ever hear of that? So it's a little bit extreme. I'm not suggesting it. But it's fascinating just to read. There's a woman who writes that she's a balas tshuva, and she writes that sometimes balei tshuva have a feeling like they never do anything good enough, because they're always very concerned, you know, am I doing it well enough or not? So she describes herself as being a balas tshuva who was always very nervous. And she says, Friday afternoon would come, and I would make myself totally crazy. I was going, sitting, scrubbing the floors with a toothbrush, craziness, total craziness. And she was so concerned that Shabbos has to be just perfect. And what used to happen, her children would come home from school on Friday afternoon, and each one had jobs galore. They would have to vacuum the house 100 times over, and everyone had their jobs that it would make the kids crazy. Till finally she said that her daughter walked into the house on Friday afternoon and said, you know, I wish we wouldn't have Shabbos. And she said, at that point it hit me that much more than all the details and figuring out, did I do everything to the T? Did I make sure that I followed all the halachas? Did I make sure everything was done exactly the way it was supposed to be? Look what I'm doing to my family. Look what I'm doing to my children. Look that my daughter came home and said to me, I wish we didn't have a Shabbos. And she decided to go on, I guess, a crusade for Shabbos, to make Shabbos a more positive experience for her whole family. And she decided that every week, she's going to be ready completely for Shabbos at Chatzos on Friday afternoon. Hard to imagine. But she made it out to be her business that Friday afternoon is going to be a calm day in our house. And if you have all the preparations starting already, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday morning, by Chatzos, when Shabbos is almost on its way, everyone's going to be calm. And this changed her whole atmosphere in the house. And she then took it to the next level and went to communities to speak about this, and has thousands of members signed up all over the world who have joined onto her project to be ready for Shabbos at Chatzos. You look at the first Rambam that we read together in the top of the page, and the second line, Miyachel lehakbalas pnei haShabbos. A person should sit there and wait and anticipate for Shabbos to come in. This is what this woman went on a mission to do for her family, to make sure that they're ready for Shabbos and that it's calm. Our children should not have a negative attitude about Shabbos. Our family should not feel that Shabbos is a pressure. To the contrary, Shabbos is an opportunity for us to have an encounter with God Himself. How can you be sad about that? How can you feel pressured about that? God comes to visit you in your house. You don't have to go anywhere. God comes to visit you and you're upset and you're stressed out. It just doesn't make any sense. So I was very taken by her article. If anyone wants to read it, I thought it was a beautiful article and a beautiful project. It's on this website called chatzos.com. I just want to take you to another drasha of Rav Soloveitchik, which is very important to our discussion as well. Rav Soloveitchik wrote a sefer called Al HaTshuva. Al HaTshuva was written by someone, Pinchas Peli, interesting person on his own, but Al HaTshuva were really the drashas that Rav Soloveitchik gave before the Yom Noram every year. And then they compiled a bunch of his drushas together and they put out the Sefer Al HaTshuva, which is now in English and in Hebrew. So I took the English version. In Hebrew, I think it's more beautiful in Hebrew, but just for everyone's convenience, I gave the English version here. It's called On Repentance in English. So listen, these are his words. Allow me, please, to make a private confession concerning a matter that has caused me much loss of sleep. Soloveitchik says, I'm going to talk personally with you. Only a few thousand people in the room, personal conversation I'm going to have. I am not so very old, yet I remember a time when 90% of the world Jewry were observant, and the secularists were a small minority at the fringes of the camp. So he describes what life was like in Europe. And he says, he remembers a time when most people were observant. Nowadays, that wasn't the case. He was talking a long time, I mean, for me, it's a long time ago. He was talking way before I was born about the modern phenomenon in America that we have people who are not so observant. Okay, so he's describing his frustration. I still remember it was not so long ago when Jews were still close to God and lived in an atmosphere pervaded with holiness. But today, what do we see? What is the experience that we have today? And he's talking in the 50s. The profane and the secular are in control wherever we turn. No greater time to understand this than our times, when the Supreme Court passes laws that we can't figure out how to handle. Everything is just pervading our society. What are we going to do? Major problems. Even in those neighborhoods made up predominantly of religious Jews, one can no longer talk of the sanctity of the Shabbos day. Rav Soloveitchik feels a frustration that he goes to speak all over the world, and he's invited to many communities, and he's invited to officially religious and Orthodox communities, and he feels, I can't even speak about the sanctity of Shabbos because nobody cares. Because nobody appreciates what Shabbos is supposed to be. True, there are Jews in America who observe the Shabbos. The label Shabbos observer has come to be used as a title of honor in our circles, just like Harav Hagon, which we know means nothing nowadays. Neither really indicates anything, and both testify to the lowly state of our generation. Okay, so to say I'm a Shomer Shabbos, to say I'm a Shabbos observer, he explains, has no significance and no relevance. It doesn't mean anything at all. But it is not the Shabbos that my heart aches. I'm not upset about the fact that people aren't keeping Shabbos. They are keeping Shabbos. We go around saying we're a Shomer Shabbos. Of course we keep Shabbos. It is for the eve of Shabbos. Friday afternoon. That's what he's complaining about. That's what kills me, he says. This is what pains me. That people don't understand the significance of Friday afternoon. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but they are not the eve of Shabbos Jews, he means Friday, who go out to greet the Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, and or with their mouths. But there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of service of the heart. What more can we say than that? Friday afternoon is such an important time. Getting ready for Shabbos is such an important concept. And the description that he gives is just, we need not say anymore. You know, we all say that we're Shomrei Shabbos, right? That's the common way of describing the way we keep Shabbos. Yeah, I'm a Shomrei Shabbos. Of course I'm a Shomrei Shabbos. And you find in the Pesukim when they describe what Shabbos is, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru, it says, you should be Shomer Shabbos. Shabsosai Tishmoru. You should watch over it. That's why we have the title Shomer Shabbos. You look at the Aseres HaDibros. What does it say? Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos. So that's why we call ourselves Shomer Shabbos. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Did I put this on there? Is there an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh? What else do we have on there? Anything else? I don't have one of them. What else do you have? Okay. So we have the Psukim number, hey, talks about being Shabsosai Tishmoru. That's the key word. That's where the title Shomer Shabbos comes from. Shabsosai Tishmoru. We have in the Aseres HaDibros, Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Now, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, you think you know what a Shomer Shabbos means? Look at this, it will blow you away. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Od Yirtza Derech Omro. You want to know what it means? What does the Pasuk mean? What is the reference here? Shabsosai Tishmoru. Such a strange way to describe Shabbos. You should watch over it? What does it mean to watch over Shabbos? What am I watching? What am I doing? So you say the obvious explanation means you should watch over it to make sure you don't violate the malachas of Shabbos, right? I think that's what it means. It says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, you want to know why the Torah uses this description of Shomer Shabbos specifically? Well, we have another place in Chumash where we find this word of Shmira used. Where is that? By the story of Yosef and his brothers. So what happens? We have a whole fight that's breaking out between Yosef and the brothers. And we're not sure what's going to be, and Yaakov is upset. Yaakov can't figure out how is he going to bring peace between his children. And what does it say? Ve'aviv shamar es hadavar. How do we translate that? Aviv shamar es hadavar. Pirush. What it means over there is mamtin umetzape masai yavo. What it means by Yosef is aviv shamar es hadavar. That same word shamar means Yaakov Avinu was waiting. Let's see what's going to happen. I want to see how this situation with my kids is going to play out. I sent Yosef out on a mission. Let's see if he's able to make peace with his brother. Mamtin umetzape. Yosef goes out and Yaakov is waiting at home to see how's this going to play out. What's going to be the end result? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh. V'akavana bazeh. Litzavos. Shelo yihye Shabbos kedavar toreach. We shouldn't view Shabbos as something which is a burden, which is difficult, which is not enjoyable for us. Rather, we should be va'aviv shamar es hadavar, be a shomer Shabbos, which means to be mamtin umetzape masayavo, to sit and wait anxiously, when will the Shabbos experience actually come? I can't wait. I'm so excited. I really want to take part in this experience. And says the Arachayim HaKadosh, you call yourself a shomer Shabbos? You know what it means to be a shomer Shabbos? Doesn't mean what you think. Doesn't mean that you're shomer Shabbos to make sure not to violate the 39 melachos of Shabbos. It means a lot more than that. Shomer Shabbos means a person who's mamtin umetzape masayavo. That I sit on Friday afternoon and I'm calm and I'm looking forward to this experience of ushering the Shabbos in. That is what a shomer Shabbos Jew really means. This is what Rav Soloveitchik describes is paining his heart. That we don't have Shomrei Shabbos. We don't have people who understand the significance and the value of Friday afternoon, of looking forward to what Shabbos is supposed to mean for us. Just want to close, and again, I apologize for those who came thinking it was a halacha shir. I hope this was interesting and important for those who stayed. For those who walked out, I guess it wasn't. But I have a friend, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg from Teaneck, who once pointed out to me a very fascinating idea. And this is an idea that's written by the Munkacher Rebbe. Let's read it together. I'm not such a chassid, but I was very taken by this. Amarat Tzadikim Rabbeinu Zal B'Shem Rabbeinu HaGadol HaMagid MiMezrich. People have heard of the Mezricher Magid. He was one of the foremost starters of the Hasidic movement, the Mezricher Magid. So they say in his name, look at this. Ki tamua ve'enav. He cannot understand. It's a funny question. But tamua ve'enav. Madua lo nichtav b'Torah. Why is there no mitzvah in the Torah? Sheviksav. You look in the scriptures, you look in the psukim, you don't find a mitzvah. Shetzvichan lishon be'erev Shabbos Kodesh. Interesting. Why is there no mitzvah in the Torah? Why is there no pasuk? There's the Munkacher Rebbe writing in Europe 200 years ago. Why is it that we don't find the mitzvah in the Torah to take a nap on Erev Shabbos? Never bothered me. But I guess it bothered him. V'yesh omrim b'shmo, some say, not only was the question of the Mezricher Magid, how come the Torah doesn't instruct us to take a nap on Erev Shabbos? But some say even more than that. Madu alo nichtav zehu ba'aseres hadibros, shetzvichan lishon be'erev Shabbos. Why isn't it in the Aseres Hadibros itself? Aseres Hadibros, now one second. Aseres Hadibros. Lo sirtzach, lo sinach. Take a nap on Erev Shabbos. I don't know. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, take a nap on Erev Shabbos. Lo yelech alokim acherim alpanai, don't serve avodah zarah. Take a nap on Erev Shabbos. Says the Mezricher Magid, I wondered, why is this not in the Aseres Hadibros itself? Explain the Munkacher Rebbe. Uladasa yeshomrim yifle. Everyone with me? This is very surprising. Lachora od yoter. Michilo dai shvach ma'aloso hayanichta batora shebeksav. Lama tzorech dafka sheye kasa ba'aseres hadibros. What kind of question is this? Shouldn't it be in the Aseres Hadibros? Should it be in the Torah at all? I don't know. It's a strange question. What kind of thought is that? It doesn't really belong. Ulam yeshlomar, says the Munkacher Rebbe, with this we'll close. Since being calm on Shabbos is so vitally important, and its significance cannot be described, Kedei shelo yisham b'shabbos kodesh be'es hasudah v'azmiras. How often have we been at meals? Man comes home from work and he's dead tired and he shows up Friday night and the kids start pulling out the sheets and this one has the sheets and that one has the parsha sheets and everyone has their parsha books and everyone has their things. That's the best Shabbos meal, I guess. You know, there can be many others, but let's imagine your Shabbos table looks like that and the husband is sitting there sleeping at the head of the table. Anyone ever seen such a thing? What kind of Shabbos meal is that? This is what we take Shabbos for? This is what the experience is supposed to be? To fall asleep at the table on Friday night when we get home? Sort of a cheap kind of Shabbos. Not the Shabbos I was looking forward to. What's to anticipate about that? You think your kids enjoy it? When they look at the head of the table and the father's sleeping? Says the Munkacher Rebbe, V'kodem l'kiddush b'halimud, v'chein acharei hasuda shelo yehei nirdam u'misnamnem b'li das kemehema. The second the meal's over, okay, time to go to sleep, I'm out. How often does that happen? Is that what Shabbos is supposed to be? So he says, I took this so seriously, this question, made me think about when the Mezritch Maggid asked, why is there no mitzvah in the Torah to sleep on Erev Shabbos? And you'll say, it's a silly question. It's a little bit of a Hasidish question. Not exactly such a serious one. But the Munkacher Rebbe said, when I heard that question, it made me think about the perspective in which we look at Shabbos. What is Shabbos supposed to look like? How does our Friday afternoon look? And based on the way our Friday afternoon looks, is the way we will enjoy and experience the Shabbos itself. If we don't make sure to have a proper hachana, if we don't make sure to have a Friday afternoon, which is worthy of ushering in the Shabbos the way it's supposed to be ushered in, then what are we going to be left with? We're going to be left with a child who comes home and says, I wish Shabbos wouldn't come at all. We're going to be left with our husbands or the males in our family falling asleep at the table because they're so tired. And we're going to be left with the way Rav Soloveitchik described it as being dry and insensitive in our Judaism. What are we left with? Where's the feeling in the Shabbos experience and in all the mitzvahs that we do? And is the role of the Jewish woman, as Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully described, to make sure that that happens? To usher in the Shabbos, to light the Shabbos candles, and to set the tone for the family to understand what their overall perspective is supposed to look like when Shabbos comes in. Mirza Shem, next week, we'll continue.